Start your day at the tour, I wish most day not.
Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Welcome, everybody. Special welcome to my father. Came specially from London for Bar Mitzvah. And it's cool to have him here. Speaking on Parshas Bamidbar can be a bit challenging because many Sforim just circumvent Bamidbar entirely when we talk about Shavuos. But Baruch Hashem managed to find a few things which I'd like to share with you. And the first thought, I saw in the Sefer Pnimim Al HaTorah, I don't know if you saw, but it used to come out a weekly thing, a sheet. So I've got one Sefer of, I don't know if it's 1 year or 2 years or 3 years worth of the Torah. And I saw this lot there. He doesn't bring it from anyone, so maybe it's his own. He points out an interesting thing. The parasha starts off, we know, starts off counting Klal Yisrael, and it says, in Pasuk Gimel, it says, Niben Esim Shon of Amalo, Kol Yitzi Tzava B'Yisrael. Klal Yisrael accounted from the age of 20 and above. Kol Yitzi Tzava B'Yisrael. All those who go out to fight in the army. Now later on in the parasha, we have about the Levian, Kapitel Gimel Pasuk Yud Tesvav. So there it says Pekodes b'nei Levi leveis avoisam lemishpachoisam kol zochor miben chodesh v'ma'alot tifkedim. So the b'nei Levi were counted from the age of 1 month. So Rashi explains why. But interestingly, it doesn't say, there's no mention there of Yotzei Tzava. Well, obviously, no one can go out to fight at the age of a month. But there's no mention at all of the Levian going out to the army, which would suggest that the Bnei Yisrael were involved in the army, they went to fight, whereas the Bnei Levi didn't. And he points out that it's a very interesting thing, because if we go all the way back to Levi himself, Levi together with Shimon, they were the ones who took up arms to fight Shechem because of Dino. Later on, by the Egel, who were the ones who went and fought and stood up for Nechemes Hashem? As Bnei Levi, Mila Hashem Eloi, Vayosvei Lov, called Bnei Levi. Later on, we had Pinchos, who came from Shevet Levi. He was the one who was Lechem Nechemes Hashem to kill Zimri. So it would seem that the Levium are eminently suitable, perhaps the most suitable, perhaps, to fight Nechemes Hashem. Yet we have here, when there's a Melchama Klal Yisrael, the Levi are excluded. They're not even included in the army at all. And why is this? So he says an interesting concept, an interesting point. He says, if you have in the army, you have the infantry, you have the air force, you have the navy, you have different roles in the army. But you also have the higher ups in the army. They don't go out onto the battlefield. They sit in the war rooms and they plan strategy, and they have got an understanding of battle, but they don't actually go out to fight. But it's them really who determine the course of the battle, and they're the ones who create the plan which enables the army to succeed. Levi, as we know, with Yoiru Mishpatecha V'Yakri, they are the Tamidei Chachamim, they are the leaders of Klal Yisrael. They are the ones who map out the strategy for Klal Yisrael. The Levim are the ones, they're not fighting on the ground in the battlefield, but they're fighting on a much higher level. They are the ones who are directing Klal Yisrael. They are the ones who are learning Torah. They are the ones who are teaching Torah. They're guiding Klal Yisrael. And in fact, they are the ones, who, if they do their tafkid properly, they could avoid the whole necessity for Muhammad to begin with. Because the schusim that they accumulate and they cause due to their teaching Torah, due to their own learning of Torah, they lead Klal Yisrael and they don't need to go and fight. So the rest of Klal Yisrael, Yotzei Tzava, they have to go out to battle. But the Bnei Levi on a far higher level, they don't need to go and fight. They are leading the battle from their high Ruchnius Digger level by increasing the Kedusha in Klal Yisrael, and that's the real battle. And it comes to mind, somebody just told me this week a story. I think I read this somewhere, but it's a very amazing story. There was a young man in the supermarket in Eretz Yisrael, and he was standing by the checkout ready to pay. And then apparently, I don't know if it was a firm person or non-firm person standing behind him, and he says to him, "Can I pay your bill?" So why should you pay my bill? He said, because he is one of the big engineers who developed the Iron Dome. And he was called by Ukraine to implement the Iron Dome system in Ukraine. And they called him back and they said, you know, we don't understand. In your country, the Iron Dome is almost very close to 100% successful. And in our country, it's much, much lower than 50% or much, much lower. And we can't understand. There's something wrong with our system. And he checked it out. There's nothing wrong. He realized that Klal Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is populated by Yidden, there's a special siyata d'shamayim that Klal Yisrael has. So this engineer said that he recognizes the Koach HaTorah of the Talmid Chacham, sitting and learning Torah. They are the ones who bring about the protection for the country. Therefore, he said, I want to pay back somewhat. I want to support these special people who are the real protection of Klal Yisrael, much more than the weapons and the defense systems. They are the real defense, the real shalom, we'll call it, the protection for Klal Yisrael. A bit later on, in the middle of the parasha, capital beginning to capital base, the Torah tells us about the Degolim. The Torah tells us about the Degolim, which explains to us how each of the Shvatim were positioned in different positions. You had the Degel, Machne Ruve, Degel, Machne Yehuda, and all the different Degolim, groups of Klal Yisrael. And we see that besides for being a physical formation of Klal Yisrael, we see in the Midrashim that the Degolim is a very, very hoichazach, it's a very spiritual thing, which they said the Malochim, they saw Klal Yisrael, forget, Klal Yisrael saw the Malochim were organized in Degolim, and Klal Yisrael wanted these Degolim. And the Medrash says that the Goyim, the Pesuk in Shir HaShirim says, the Goyim say to Klal Yisrael, Mizois HaNishkofo, Shuvi Shuvi HaShulamis, the Goyim say to Klal Yisrael, come to us, we can offer you all sorts of covered and enjoyment. And Klal Yisrael say back to them, Matechzu BaShulamis, what can you see, what can you give to us? Can you give us Machanet, can you give us the Goyim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a gewaldig gezach called the Goyim, and this is something which you can't match. Bilam, when he saw Klal Yisrael Shoichin Yishvotov Vatiyol of Ruach Elokim, he saw there's something very, very special about the Degolim. Clearly, it's much more than just a practical housing solution. This is much, much greater than this. So, what is this Inyan? There's a Sefer Shari Tuvia. I don't know if it was written by him, but it was the Torah of Tovia Vayetzich, Tzadik Levocha. He quotes a very fascinating pshat in a Kapitel Tehillim, which we say every day. You say every day, Haluluka Halukel Bukotshoi, Besekha Shoifar, Neva Vachinor, Besefer Mocho, Minim Vugal. We're going through various different musical instruments. And at the end, we say, Koilahan Shomot Haluluka Haluluka. It would seem not really to connect. We've got musical instruments, it's Koilahan Shomot, all people. So he quotes from the Bishaya first, the Av Beis Din of Vienna, who explained that if you come into a hall and you have an orchestra, so you have the piano, you have the violin, you have the guitar, you have trumpets, you have all the different instruments, you have drums, cymbals, all different things. Now each one on their own wouldn't necessarily be a very beautiful performance. But in harmony, if they're all working together, then each one enhances the experience and you have a beautiful symphony of all the different instruments coming together. In the same way, Klal Yisrael, each one of us has our own individuality, our own way of doing things, our own minhagim, our own mesorah, our own nature, and each one on our own is very nice, but together it creates a beautiful symphony of Kvod Shamayim. And that's what we say, we go through all the different musical instruments, and then we say, Koil HaMashomot HaHalil Ko HaLuluko, the combination of all the different types of people and ways of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu all come together to bring Kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a beautiful pshat in the Pasuk. And the Tovia puts this onto the idea of the Degolim. We know that the Degolim, each Degel had its own position, but it also had a mapo. A mapo is a flag, and it had different colors according to the color of the choshen. Each shevet, each degel, had its own individuality, had its own kochos, its own way of serving Hashem. And they all come together to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of the golem demonstrates the beauty of Klal Yisroel, Dafka taking each one, taking their own kochos, their own way of serving Hashem, not being the same, but being different, but coming together to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we recognize that brings true Kavod Shamayim. It brings a medrash on the Pasuk Hakei Bet Matei Levi. So the Pasuk we say every week, Tzadik Katomor Yichroch. A tomor is a date palm. The medrash says that a date palm has various parts to it. It has the lulavim, it has the fruits, it has all different. He's not actually talking about the fruits, he's talking about the actual tree itself. So the lulavim of a halil, chariyos, the big branches they use for schach, and each aspect of the deco of the tomor has something which has had its own purpose and its own use. So too, Klal Yisrael have different types of people. You have tzaddiki, you have tamid chacham, you have goyim lichesed, you have all different types. And when we come together, that's how we create the true Kavod Shamayim. The Haftorah that we're not going to learn tomorrow, because it's Mocha Chodesh, but in the Haftorah of Bamidbar, the Pasuk says, V'hoyom isbar b'nei Yisrael k'chol hayom, the number of the b'nei Yisrael will be like the sand of the sea, asher lo yimad v'lo yisofer. It says it won't be counted. So it says Mispar B'nei Yisroel, the number of the B'nei Yisroel, Asher Lo Yimad V'Lo Yisofer. So is it going to be a number? Is it not a number? What's going on? So the Medrash says, when Bezman She'ein Oysen Ritzoin Hashem Mokin, Yesh Lehem Mispar. When we're not doing the Rotzon Hashem, Chas V'Sholem, then we have a number. We're limited. Or Bezman She'ein Oysen Ritzoin Hashem Mokin, Ein Lehem Mispar. When we're doing the Rotzon of Hashem, then there's no number. So Reb Tovia explains, according to his Mahalach, that when Klal Yisrael are doing the Ratzon Hashem, and we're all working together to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're not individuals anymore. We're all one beautiful symphony, which is bringing about Kavod Shamayim. He brings a Chasam Sofer, who says, we know from in Parshas Shoftim, it says, Lo Sokim Lecho Matzevo. The Mizbeach has to be made up of many different stones. You can't have a single stone. The Ovdei Avodah Zorah, Asher Sonei Hashem Elokecha, Hashem dislikes the idea of having a single stone. The Goyim, they have that concept that there's one person who, their priest, who, so to speak, serves Hashem, but it doesn't apply to everyone else. But Klal Yisroel Faket, it's Davka everybody. We need everybody. We need the Gedolim, we need the medium people, we need the simple people, we need all the different types and characters and ways of Avodas Hashem to bring about Kavod Shamayim. And he says that's the true Hachona to Kabbalah Satoyah. Vayichan Shom Yisroel Neged Hahor. We're all familiar, Ke Ish Echod B'Lev Echod. We're all familiar with the concept of Achdus. But he's bringing this out now in a much greater depth. Achdus doesn't just mean we're all together. It means we all recognize each other's kochos, each other's contribution to Kavod Shamayim, and that's how we bring about true Kavod Shamayim, and we can be Mekabel Torah properly. If you go back to the beginning of the Seder, we have the names of the Nesiim. And the Nasi of God, the God Eliyosaf ben De'uel. That was his name. And he appears a few more times. He appears in Parshas Nosoi by the Korbonos, by the Chanukas HaMizbeach, Eliyosaf ben De'uel. We have later on in Ba'alo Yischo. But interestingly, if you look into the Golim, the same person in Capital Beis, Posuk Yud Dalud, it calls him, Umate God, Venosi Livni God, Eliyosaf ben De'uel, with the Reish. His name was Duel, or was his name Reuel? What was his name? So, the Chido brings from the Sefer Imri Noyam. I saw this quoted in the Sefer, and I also heard this from Rav Shlomo Miller. Rav Shlomo Miller from Eretz Yisrael, who comes from time to time. So he says that we have Dega Machni Yehuda. Yehuda was the head of the Dega. You have Reuven, and you have Ephraim, and you have Don. Now Don was the Bechor of Bilhah. God was the Bechor of Zilpah. So God could have had a taina. It's not fair. If Don is the leader of a Degel, I should also be the leader of a Degel. Why do I not get an opportunity to be the head of a Degel? As he said before, that the Godim, a very great Ruchnius Digger, Mitzias, God could have turned around and complained. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, what's going on here? Why are you not giving it to me? But God didn't say anything. God accepted. He accepted the Das Torah. He accepted what the Kodesh Baruch Hu had sent to him. And he didn't say anything. Ooh! You accepted what the Baruch Hu had sent to you. You didn't make a machlokes. So now you become Re'uel, the Re'a Keil, the friend of Hashem. And because of that, God was Zeicher, we see in Parshas Vazos Habracha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in the Chelkish of God. God, because he was Mevatah, because he was Mekabel, the Rotzon Hashem, he accepted that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good for him, he trusted Moshe Rabbeinu, the Das Torah, he became a Re'a Keil, and that's the Shinei Hashem. His name Avada was Do'uel, but Do'uel represents the fact that he was a friend of Hashem. And the Shlomo Miller quoted the story, the Shema of Zilberstein, about the great Rosh Hashiva in Ponovich, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, his father, was a Rav in Grodno. And when he was Nifta, there was a discussion who should be the new Rav in Grodno. Should it be Rav Shmuel or should it be his older brother? The Kehillah wanted Rav Shmuel because he was perhaps more suitable. The Mishpacha wanted that the older brother, I think it was called Rabbi Yisrael Rozovsky, I think, I'm not sure. They wanted him to be the Rav. So they went to ask Abchaim Oizer. Abchaim Oizer paskened that the older brother, obviously he was a Talmud Chacham, and he was suitable. Just, the Tzibbur wanted the Shmuel more. Abchaim Oizer paskened that the older brother should be the Rav. And that's what happened. They appointed the older brother. But there were people in the Kehillah who were trying to do things, to engineer things, that Reb Shmuel should still be the leader. And Reb Shmuel felt that it's not good. It's going to create a machlokes. So he ran away from Grodno. And he went to Eretz Yisrael. And his brother was the Rav there. The Meister, what happened in the end? In the end, Nebuch, this brother, was killed in the war. And Reb Shmuel became Rosh Hashiva upon which most Rosh Hashivas of the last generation, or many of those Shivas of the last generation, of the present generation, of Talmidim of Shmuel Rozovsky, because he is Mevata, because he gave away that he'd avoided machlokes, he never lost out of it, nor faket, he gained out of it, the Netzach Mitzachim. And he quoted from Ramayach Bidonan, he said the whole time in davening, he said, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimlech Ba'olam Boed. Hashem was the king. Hashem is a king, Hashem was a king, and Hashem will always be the king. Which corresponds to Hoya, Hoyveviye, Hashem was, Hashem is, and Hashem will be. The question is, and Melech asked, the order should be Hashem Moloch, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloich. Why are we starting with Hashem Melech, with the present, and then going back and then forward? So he said it might be a true story, that in Russia, in Soviet Russia, everyone had to pledge allegiance to the king, and anything that it had, oh yes, I'm going to give everything to the king, to Stalin or whatever. So this person was asked, are you willing to give your everything that you own to Stalin? Yes, sure. He said, what about your house? Definitely I'll give my house to the king, of course. What about my fields? What about your fields? Absolutely. And how about your chickens? No, my chickens not. What, your house, you're willing to give away. Your field, you don't mind. But your chickens, probably not. Yes, I'll tell you why. A house is rented. Fields, I don't have. But chickens, I have. I'm keeping them myself. So he says, a person can say, yeah, Hashem Moloch, yeah, in the past Hashem was the king, I'm accepting that. Hashem Yimloch in the future, yeah, but now I can't accept that because the Baruch Hu is leading, telling me what to do. I've got to have my own space. No, we have to start off with Hashem Melech. Now accept that because the Baruch Hu is guiding us, trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept what he does. Then you can say Hashem Moloch and Hashem Yimloch. That's the idea of God, Yosef ben Re'uel, the friend of Hashem, who is accepting the Rotzon Hashem. The Medrash, at the beginning of the Sedra, talks about the Midbar. Very famous Chazal. The Shlosha Dvarim Nitna Torah. The Torah was given with three things. Bo'esh, Uvamayim, Uvamidbar. Fire, water, and Midbar. And the Medrash brings Psukim for each one. Esh, V'asina, Rosh HaNkuloi, V'Machan Torah, V'Mayim, Gam Shemayim, V'Tfumoyim. Midbar, V'Yadabar Hashem, V'Moshe, V'Midbar Sinai. What's the significance of these three things? Esh, Mayim, and Midbar. So the Medrash says that these three things are all free. Esh doesn't cost anything. Water is available freely. And the Midbar is an empty place which anyone can go and use and be there. Nobody charges you. So that's the one part of the Medrash. And the Medrash says another thing. What's the idea of Midbar Sinai? That somebody who wants to be Kohen Torah has to make himself Hefka, like a Midbar. A Midbar is completely Hefka. So in order to be Zeuchet to Torah, you have to be like a Midbar. So the Sefer Nachas Eliezer, that's the Shmuzim of Eliezer Kahan, and now of Yitzhak Yeshiva, the Medrash starts, Mikan Shonu Chachomim. From the Pasuk of Midbar Sinai, Mikan Shonu Chachomim, this is where we learn that the Shlosh HaDvarim Nitna Torah. But the only thing that we learn from the Pasuk of Midbar Sinai is the Midbar. The other two, Eish and Amayim, we don't learn from the Pasuk about the Midbar, we learn that from other Pasukim. So what's going on here? We bring it from the Midbar, is it the Midbar, is it the Eish and Amayim as well? And the Chlali says, why do you need to have three comparisons? We only need one. One thing that's free, why do you need to have three different comparisons of things that are free? So he says as follows. He says there's two sections to the mitzvahs of the Torah. You have the mitzvahs Asay and the mitzvahs Lo Asay. For the mitzvahs Asay, we need to have zrizus. We have to be ready to go against our laziness, to pick ourselves up, to have excitement and passion. That concept is represented by Eish. Eish is fire, full of life, vitality. That's the needed midah, the needed koyach for mitzvahs asei. For mitzvahs lo asei, to avoid doing avodas, many times the best approach is laziness. Can't be bothered getting up to an avera, you won't do it. So that's where the midah of atzlus is very useful. Just don't bother, stay where you are, and don't do the avera. And that's where we need the idea of mayim. Because mayim is cold, no feelings, just stay where you are, don't do anything. But each of those, he quotes from Siddhas Yishoyim, he doesn't quote it, the Gabi, this, and Siddhas Yishoyim doesn't say these two concepts, but he said that Yetzirah often confuses us, and makes us think that what's really a mitzvah is actually an avera. What something's wrong, really, it's a mitzvah. And we can get confused, we can start thinking that this is what we're supposed to be doing, and we'll employ the middle of age and excitement and zeal to do something, thinking that we're doing a mitzvah, when in reality we're doing something wrong. The opposite can be true as well. We can think we can't do that, that's wrong. So we'll employ the idea of laziness, of mayim, cold, and really we should be doing it. So how are we supposed to know what to do? The answer is, Mr. Shoyim himself says, you have to have libo yoshor shebelevavis sheloitia pniyosei elo lasis hanachas ruach l'fon av yisborach. A person has to be open to accept what HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides him and what's really the right thing. And the way to do that is to take away as much as possible one's own negiyos. If a person has one's negiyos and interests, then it interferes and it clouds one's vision. And that is the concept of Midbar. Midbar is Hefka. I've got nothing. I've got no preconceived notions. I just accept what the Torah says. Let's listen to what the Chachamim tell us. And then I'll be able to utilize the other two koichos, Eish and Mayim, in the correct way. So the starting point has to be Hefka, like a Midbar. Blank. I don't have any of my own ideas. I don't know. So many times you learn a sugi in the Gemara and you can't understand what the Gemara is saying because you have a preconceived notion of how things are. You have to sometimes say, right, let's just delete. Let's pretend we don't know anything and see what the Gemara is telling us. And sometimes our preconceived notions are right, sometimes they're not. But sometimes what we know is because we already know the Maskonos are Gemara. But the point, coming back to here, is in general, we have to have a Hefka, we have to be open to accept what we're told by the Torah, by the Chachomim, and then we can use each middah of Eish and Mayim in the right way. So therefore, the Medrash is telling us that it's true, there's Eish, there's Mayim, and there's Midbar. But the Midbar is the most important one, because if we have the Midbar, if we have the Hefka, we're open to be Mekabel, what the Rebbeinu Tzaddik teaches us, what the Torah teaches us. So then we'll be able to use the other middos of Eish and Mayim to approach Avodas Hashem with the right approach, with the Zrizus for the Mitzvos Asei, and with the opposite, with the Atzlus for Mitzvos Lo Asei, to avoid doing them. Right at the end of the parsha, the Torah tells us, Mamash at the end, tells us, Posuk Tezayin, Dalet Tezayin, right at the end. It's telling us all the different jobs of the Levim, the Nekahos. And the Posuk says, of Kudas Elozor ben Aaron HaKoyim, the task of Elozor ben Aaron HaKoyim, Shemen HaMoir, the light, the oil for lighting the menorah, the Ketoyos HaSamim, which went in Mizbeach, or Minchas HaTomid, v'Shemen HaMishcho. Now, the Yerushalmi says that all these things were carried by Elozo ben Aaron HaKohen himself. He carried the Shemen HaMishcho, the Shemen HaMor, Ketoyos HaSamim, Minchas HaTomid. And the Ramban explained how it's possible for him to have carried so much. He says that, we know we say it in the Ketoyos, that it was 365 moneh, which is a lot. And then you had the Shemen HaMor, which was 183 lugin. Everything was huge, huge amounts. So how could he carry so much? So he says, he brings from Yerushalmi that on one hand he held the oil, one hand the other oil, but on his shoulder, I don't know exactly in Becheko, exactly what that means. We could just imagine Rav Schneeberg, the Chassad Levraka, walking around holding a huge barrel of oil in one hand, another one in the other hand, balancing something on his shoulder. Is that a covet? The loss of an Aaron HaKohen, Nesi HaLevi, he's the top person in the Shevet Levi, looking after everything, and he's busy walking around like this, looking like a porter. What's going on? So I saw, brought from the Chaim Shmulevitz, that we're talking here about the helix de zachen, things which are used for the avodah and mishkan. These things, perhaps they're physically heavy, but in truth, it's the greatest honor to be so involved in the avodah of the mishkan. Michal Bas Shaul, we know the story of Michal Bas Shaul, that she laughed at David HaMelech, she despised him, she looked down at him for having lowered himself by dancing for the Torah, dancing for the covet of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But she was mistaken, because it's not a bizoyan for a great tzaddik to lower himself to be mechabed the Torah, to mechabed the mitzvahs. So Eibazoi, this is the greatest covet. It might look strange to us, but really that's the biggest covet. And the Chaim said that in Kelem, the famous yeshiva in Kelem, the sweeping of the floor was an honor which was taken by none other than Simcha Zissel himself. It's a cover, it's not bizoyan, you don't get a shvatzer cleaner to do it. It's a cover to clean the Beis Hashem, to clean the Beis HaMedrash. That's the biggest cover. I'm not saying we should all have to do this, but the concept is definitely a very great idea. And it changes our whole perspective. We do something, L'chavet Shomayim, it's not something to be ashamed of, or faket. It's something to be proud of, it's something which is the biggest covet. Like the Shabbos. Thank you.